Amen. Good morning. How is everyone this morning? I don't know if that's good. Hopefully you at home are better than they are here. How are you this morning? Good. You are alive. You are here. You are taken care of. You have life within you, and you have a God who absolutely loves you. You have nothing to be upset about. Now, I know the world we live in tells us that there are things that we should be upset about, but if we could change our viewpoint just a little bit, I think our lives may be a little more refreshed. They have a different view of what life really is about, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Family is so important to us, but there is a family that we are a part of that is much bigger than the family that you live with. How about we go to the Lord in prayer, and we will continue in our worship of our great God and King. God, we love you. We thank you for being the God that you are. We thank you that we can read about the God that interacted with his people and his creation. Lord, but we know that you still interact with us today, but we are hopeful and we are excited and we long for the day for your return. That we could spend eternity with you, that all of these things that we've read about, all of these things that we believe and hope in will come to fruition, that it'll be real and we can touch it and see it and truly feel it. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you have presented to us this morning. Lord, whether we're sitting at home or sitting in the parking lot or sitting here in this building, or maybe we'll watch it later on this week, God, whenever that is, Lord, may you do what only you can do in our hearts and in our lives. May you peel back those things that we have allowed to grow over that God-shaped hole, and may you fill that spot within us. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is
your glory, God, is what our hearts long
God, that is what we pine for this morning. God, we just want your presence to fall, not just on Sunday mornings, but every waking moment of our life. But Lord, that requires us to come to you. It requires us to humble ourselves. It requires us to own our own mess. Lord, you invite us to do that. You are willing to allow your presence to fall, to guide us, direct us, help us motor through whatever comes our way, whatever is allowed to enter our lives. Lord, we know that you can do it. Give us the strength to move in that direction, to let you have total control. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. Welcome. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew. That's where we're going to be. Hopefully you have brought your Bibles, or maybe you have your phone that you can tune in on your phone to whatever Bible app you've got going. But we're going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 12. We're actually finishing chapter 12 finally after about 400 months of being in chapter 12, right? Feels like that to some degree. But this ending of this chapter is really peculiar and kind of interesting and maybe a little tough for some of us to hear this morning. It's very challenging, and some of the ways that I've heard it preached before has led me to think that Jesus was kind of being mean. And after reading and studying and talking it through even more this past week, I don't believe he was being mean at all. He's just being real and honest. And so he's addressing the idea of family. Now, I know some of you just went, right? Because family can either be really, really awesome or really, really tough. There's not a whole lot of middle ground with that. And we hold so much value into family. In fact, if you look at, unfortunately, the TV shows that are on primetime cable, most of the shows are revolving around family. And back in the day, it was actually helpful to some degree, if you want to call it helpful. But now, it's trying to change what family looks like and trying to help us know how to do family better. And the reality is they're going in such an opposite direction of what family should be in our mind's eye that it's just way off base. But there are some shows. There's one in particular that I love to watch because of the family dynamic that's in it. I'm not going to tell you what it is because then you'll judge me and I'm not going to let you do that. But it's a good one. It's a challenging show. But this family, every Sunday after they go to Catholic Mass, they sit and they have a family meal together. If you know what it is, don't say it out loud. I will be upset. But it's the way that they do it. They all have differing opinions and they go back and forth. But at the end of the day, they are on the same page, heading in the same direction, even with their differing opinions. And how many of us struggle in our households when we have different opinions? We don't allow that. No, you got to think the way. No, we can work with that. We can work with that. And so we have this idea that family should be a specific way. And unfortunately, the world that we live in is trying to define what that family looks like. What I want to contend this morning is that maybe there's a bigger family that you are a part of. The family that you may be a part of may not be ideal at all. In fact, you want to distance yourself as much as you possibly can from that family. But again, I want to contend that there is a family that you don't want to distance yourself from, that you want to be a part of, that you are invited to be a part of, that you can be a part of. It's open to all. So here's the thought that I have for you this morning. It's family is a gift that lasts forever. Now, if you Google this, this is a popular quote. You've probably heard it before. Maybe you just heard that family lasts forever. And when I looked this thing up and I saw that family is a gift that lasts forever, it kind of made me chuckle a little bit. Because I know some of you and how you feel about your families. And you would not categorize your family as a gift. That's okay. It's the reality of the world we live in. But this is the popular thing that everybody wants us to understand, that family is, it just lasts forever, and it's the gift, and it's the best thing. And I would say, in a perfect model, in a perfect world, absolutely. Family is vital. Family is important. In fact, it's something we push from the pulpit, that family should be guarded. Family should be strengthened. Family should be encouraged, because family is what carries us through life. It's the last name that you carry. It's the characteristics that you take into the world. It's the teachings from your parents and grandparents that you carry on. Family's important. And when we place other things in front of family, family suffers. And family can actually be a distraction in some respects. Family can be a hindrance in some respects. But family is important. And it is a gift. And if done well and done correctly, it can last forever. But we live in a fallen world with broken people. That two people getting married are bringing two sets of baggage, and they try to mix that together and make it work. And we do pretty well with it, actually. But it doesn't come without hiccups and without speed bumps and without detours. There is no perfect family. I heard a counselor say one time that when he talks with people and they say, "Oh, my childhood was just perfect. I never had any problems." He just internally says, "Yeah, right." And you may have had a good childhood, but it didn't come without bumps and bruises and detours along the way, because family is tough. And for me, when thinking about this, my family sits in here while I'm preaching, so I have to be very careful at what I'm going to say today. And they're listening at home. But family is tough. It doesn't matter what family you come from. Family is hard, and it is a gift. You don't choose the family that you're born into. Right? You just don't. Nor do we choose the family members that we're going to live with. And by the way, that also goes with our spiritual life. We are adopted into the family of God when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I don't get to choose who I get to hang out with. Because if you're in the family, you're in the family. It's an interesting thing. And Jesus addresses this whole idea of family. So family as defined, and there are so many different definitions. You can probably Google and find different ones because it's always changing. But here's the one I'm going to work with today. It's defined as a group of two people that are related by blood, marriage, or adoption. Two people related by blood, which is kind of like how we interact with our families, parents, kids, that type stuff, or by marriage, husband, wife, and the world wants to define it differently, or by adoption. So that's what they are looking at as family. And so we're full of families in here. There's families all over the place, whether it's by blood, by marriage, or by adoption. And so if that's the working definition, if that's what the world defines as family, it doesn't come without, again, some speed bumps. Because family can be very supportive. I have always had a very supportive family. I just have. My parents, when I played college soccer, they literally traveled to every game wherever we played. And sometimes it was lots of hours away. But they wanted to be there. They wanted to be supportive. They have always supported my sister. They've supported me and my wife and our children. Our family has always been supportive. Even my cousins and aunts and uncles and distant relatives, they've always been supportive. We may not have always seen eye to eye, but they've always been supportive. And so families are meant to stick together and to support and encourage and to help out. And many of you have experienced that. Many of you could think back to an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent or a mom and dad that were extremely supportive no matter what. And that's good. That makes us feel good. It encourages us. But some of you have not had that. Some of you have had families that were actually hindering to you, that have held you back, that weren't supportive at all, that brought you down, that tore you down, that you're childhood and your family system was more of a hindrance than a supportive help. And many of you would just like to scrub it from your mind and move on. I get that. I hear you. Family is not always a gift. It's not always ideal. It's not always television appropriate. It's not quite what you had hoped. So not only can family be supportive, but it can also, in the negative sense, be very hindering. But it can also be very distracting. In this instance, for me, I think sometimes parents can get distracted from the way that we are to raise our children correctly. It's more about being their buddy, giving them what they want, making sure they're more happy than directed in a good direction. And we get distracted from the way that God wants us as believers to raise our children. I've watched it plenty of times throughout my time in ministry of parents that are trying to push their children, and we should push our children and encourage our children, but sometimes pushing our children distract them from the things that they really should be doing. Listen, I'm going to get on a soapbox for a real short minute here. I love sports. I'm a sportsaholic. I've always been about sports. I love sports. I've played sports all my entire life. Still try to play when I can because I love them. I love competition. But it should never be more important than the right thing. It should never be more important than their walk and their relationship with the Lord. Church is important. And I get that a lot of the travel teams that we're involved in distract us and take us away. I get that. And I applaud you if you're still trying to make it work and still trying to have church and devotions while you're there. Good job. But I hope that it's not distracting your children from the wholesome relationship building skills that they need here from this family. Notice I said from the family and not the church. Because this is just a building, place and opportunity for us to meet. But if they are being withheld from meeting with other believing children and kids and teenagers and other adults that want to pour into their life, maybe, just maybe, they're going to be distracted when they get older. Maybe, just maybe, all these studies that are coming out blaming the church for losing the teenagers and the college-age kids because they're going off, maybe, just maybe, we should take a closer look to see, maybe, just maybe, it might be the parents that distracted their own kids. Now I'm off my soapbox. And for some of you, family can be really disappointing. Listen, I know because I've heard some of you talk. I know because I've been around a lot of broken families. Family, when you hear that word, you just cringe. It was not a good experience. It was not pleasant. It's the last thing you want to be a part of. Family can be all of those things. A gift? Maybe. Last forever? There's so many variables in that. To say that it will last forever is really tough. And so maybe this morning, if we can see how Jesus defines family, maybe that statement that family is a gift and it lasts forever can actually be true. Because again, I want to contend that the family that we have on this earth could be a gift, may last for a while, but the gift of the family of God, it will last forever. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this. Now, his language in this and the things that he says, it might surprise you a little bit. It might catch you off guard, and it may seem as if he's saying some negative, awful, mean things about his family. But I want to remind you of a couple of things as we go through here to try to help us see where Jesus really is coming from. In verse 46, here's what happens. While he, Jesus, was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. So picture this, Jesus is still hanging out with a large group of people. Excuse me, he's either inside a building speaking, maybe he's in the synagogue, maybe he's outside. And it's outside, surrounded by a very large group of people, but it's multitudes. People that want to know. Maybe they're there for healing. Maybe they're there for teaching. Maybe they just want to see the spectacle of Jesus. But there's a large group, and he's taking the opportunity to invest into their lives by sharing truth with them. and his family comes up, his mother and his brothers. And they come seeking to speak to him. Now, for me, when I see seeking to speak with him, it's different than just showing up, hey, I just want to check you out. It's different than my parents coming to a soccer game, just wanting to watch the game, and then they leave. These family members, his earthly family, were seeking him out because they needed to talk to him about something. Now, we can conjecture all day long about what it is that they wanted to talk to him about. Maybe Joseph was sick. Maybe a cousin or Aunt Elizabeth was having a hard time. Maybe they wanted to tell him about John the Baptist. Maybe they just wanted to tell him, hey, we got a party coming up. We want you to be there. We don't know, and it's not even important for us to know, but what is important for us to know is they stood on the outside waiting for their turn. I don't know about you. If I was Jesus' brother and I wanted to talk to him and he's busy, I'm pulling the Jesus brother card out and I'm saying, hey, I'm his brother. I got to see him. Let me through. Now, we laugh and giggle at that, but that's what we do. We feel because it's family, because it's our coworker or somebody important in our life, or because we got a connection to them, we automatically feel entitled that we get priority to speak with them. Amen? We feel that way. But notice Jesus' mother, Mary. This is Mary we're talking about, is standing on the outside waiting for her opportunity. If anybody has a card to play, Mary's got it. But I want you to think about this. For 30 years, Jesus has been with his family. They have watched him. They've listened to him. They've experienced things that we'll never know. And all along, we find in Scripture that Mary saw certain things and heard certain things, and she hides them in her heart. Why? Because she knows who this man really is. She knows what's going on. So when her and her sons come to see their brother, she knows he's doing something important. I'm waiting my turn. Verse 47, then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Somebody knows Jesus well enough and knows his family and says, hey, Jesus, hey, look, your mom's here. Your mommy's here. Right? Your mom's here. Your brothers are here. Now, he might not have been excited about his brothers because remember, James, his brother, one of his brothers, didn't even trust and believe that he was really the Son of God. But now Mary, when he hears that Mary's there, maybe that should have perked his ears. When my mom shows up, I'm like, oh, I better behave, right? I gotta make sure because she's watching. Now, I find it intriguing that they had to tell him that they were there. Now, I don't know about you, but in a setting like this, I know when my family walks through the door. Even if I'm talking to somebody, even if I'm busy or distracted, it's just something that I know. When I see that beautiful little face of my wife, I know that's my wife. And when I see my little kids, they're not even little anymore. What do we call them? They're not even children anymore. Our halfway grown adults. When they come through the door, I know it. And let me go even a step further, because that's my immediate family. That's kind of easy for us to understand. I've got some coworkers that, for me, are probably as close, if not closer to me, than my family. Charlie, Janice, Tim, Brandy, Danielle. When they walk through the door, I know it. Because they're that close to me. Now, they may not feel that way. They may see me and think, oh, man. Right? But for me, I know it, and I don't need to run and speak to them right then. It's just them being in the very area that I'm in, that I'm good. And Jesus is here talking. He's pouring his heart out. He's investing in lives. And somebody walks over to him and says, hey, your mom and your brothers are here. Now, for me, when that happens, when people do that, I usually say, yeah, I know, I saw them. Thank you. Because I did. I knew they were here. I already knew. Watch what Jesus says. But he answered and said to the one who told him. So he looks this guy maybe square in the eye and he says, who's my mother and who are my brothers? That sounds mean. That doesn't sound very respectful to Mary. Brothers, that's different, right? But it doesn't sound very endearing, very loving, very, hey, I'm glad to see you. He looks at this guy and says, wait, who's my mom? Who are my brothers? What are you talking about? And he goes on to say, and he stretched out his hand toward his disciples, to those that are there wanting to learn, wanting to grow, wanting to move. It's probably not just his 12. This is a multitude. And he's looking at these people and he stretches out his hand and says, here are my mother and my brothers. Now for you and for me, that might be a slap in the face. It would be like me getting irritated when Ethan calls Miss Brandy and Mr. Tim mom and dad. Well, I'm his dad. But because of the connection that he has with Tim and Brandy, it's another strong bond that I'm good with. I don't take that as a knock. And so Jesus in this moment is not trying to knock his mom or his brothers. He's making a point that, yes, I recognize that that's my mom and my brothers. I saw them when they walked in. He didn't say that, but I can't believe that he didn't know they were there. But he does say, listen, who is my mom and my brothers? You want to know who my family is? It's these people right here. He's not discounting his mother or his brothers. He's making his family bigger. He's taking his family definition from here and he's making it more substantial. Why? Because there's an earthly view of family and there's a spiritual view of family. And folks, if we are going to be any Christian worth our salt, we have got to start changing our earthly view of how we live, of how we think, of how we talk, of how we act, of how we see God, and change it to the spiritual aspect and do the right thing. We can get so distracted and caught up with our own mess, with our own sin, with our own wants and our own desires, that we are distracted from the very family of God that wants to surround themselves around us and help us walk in the direction that we need to be going. We cut them off. We're mean to them. And yet that is not what Jesus encourages us to do. In fact, he goes on, he says, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever, watch this definition. You ready for this? He could have stopped and said, no, here's my family right here. People would have put the two to two together. They would have made sense of it. But watch what he says. He goes a step further. For whoever, does that leave anybody out? Does he say for all the white people? All the Jews, all the black people, all the Indians, all the Asians? No. He says, whoever. Doesn't matter their ethnicity, the color of their skin, how much money they have or what they own. Does not matter. He says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus redefines family for us. As a believer, as a follower of God, yes, you have an earthly family, and we have to work with that because it takes a lot of work. But let me tell you a better, bigger, more important family that you have. It is the family of God. And who is in the family of God? Jesus defines it as those who do the will of my Father. Those are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. It's a little bit different shaking and a different viewpoint. It changes everything that we've always known. It complicates it a little bit for us, but it shouldn't. It should simplify it, actually. It should take that thing that we have with family, that struggle, and allow us to put that to rest and focus on the family that is really meant to be grown. Find it intriguing that he says it's those who do the will of the Father. Now, when we look at family, again, he's not knocking his mom. Because if you remember, these are the things that the angel said to Mary when she was visited to be told that she was going to be pregnant with Jesus. The angel said, you are highly favored. Not highly favored by people around, but highly favored by God. You are blessed among women. And then you have found favor with God. These are statements that were made to Mary. This lady, this young woman, is an amazing person. Not just an amazing because she does the right thing, because she's kind to people, but because she walked humbly with God. And because of that, God found favor in her and used her to bring about Jesus into the world. That's big. That's the person that we're talking about. When Jesus looks and says, "Who's my mom?" He's not commenting that she's worthless, useless, terrible. He's simply saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me teach you something here. Let me show you how we can shift our view from an earthly view to a spiritual view. Yeah, that's my mom. And she's special. She's amazing. But I have other mothers here." His brothers. In Matthew chapter 15, it will be seeing that very soon. There's a passage where people are kind of questioning who Jesus is. And they say, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not mother, or is not his mother called Mary?" They know that she's special. And then he names his brothers. And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And his sisters. Are they not all with us? So Jesus has a pretty good sized family. Now it could be argued that in this culture, because of the way their living arrangements and because of the way family worked, that some of these men and some of these ladies actually could have been cousins. But because of the way that they live so closely, they just call them brothers and sisters. I'm not subscribing to that. I believe they were his legitimate brothers from Mary and from Joseph. Irregardless of the fact, we see that he has brothers. And we don't know how many brothers and sisters came to see him, but we know that they came to visit him, and he allowed them to stand outside the circle until he finished what he was doing. His family sought to seek him. They wanted to speak with him, but seemingly respected what was happening. Now, many of you have had conversations with me after church or at some other points in time, and my kids will run up and try to have a conversation with me. And if you've ever been a part of that conversation, you will notice that I will potentially ignore them, not in a mean way. My kids have me pretty much 24/7 for the most part. And we have had conversations, and they know when I am here, I am yours. And they can wait. Now that sounds so awful, doesn't it? That sounds so terrible. That sounds like you don't mean anything. These people are more important than you. But they understand that that's not the case. They are most important to me. But more important than they are to me is the will of my Father. And the will of my Father is to make myself available, to listen, not to be interrupted or to be distracted, but to be laser focused on the person that is trying to have a conversation with me so that I can be helpful. In fact, I love my mom and dad, and when they are here, especially when my dad comes, he knows. As soon as church is out, it's going to be about 15, 20, 30 minutes before I'm really going to be able to interact with them. And they are okay with that. I appreciate that so much. Listen, many of you are close friends with me, and you know on Sunday morning is not really the time to have regular conversation. I've got the rest of the week to do that with. What I need to be focused on is what I need to be focused on here. And I appreciate that. It's not that I don't value what you have to share, or I don't want to interact with you, but when I need to be about my Father's business, then I got to be about my Father's business. Doesn't mean that you're not important, and that is what we are seeing right here. They recognize, they knew what Jesus was doing. You remember back when they were traveling away from, I guess it was another feast, and Jesus wasn't with them, remember? He was like 12 years old, and they go back to the temple, and they find him, and what does he say to them? He says, "I know that you guys left, but don't you know that I'm supposed to be here? Don't you know that I'm supposed to be about my Father's business, that I've got things more important than going back home?" There are times where it's okay to be laser focused. It doesn't mean that the other is not important, because it is important. And Jesus is in no way saying that his family is not important to him. What he is saying is, there's something more important to me. And that is my Father and what he has for me. How do we know that? I want you to think about this. Jesus is on the cross, dying, brutally beaten, mocked, beat up, soaked in his own blood, in agony, hanging by nails on a tree. And as he's hanging there, in pain and in agony, feeling the weight of the sin, feeling the mockery of the people, he looks at his mother and he says, "Woman, behold your son." And he's talking to John and he looks at John and he says, "Behold your mother." Now, if we wanted to go back to the previous passage and say, okay, Jesus didn't like his family because he ignored them while he was teaching, this absolutely blows that theory up. The man is giving his life for every possible human being on the face of the planet. And he takes a moment in his pain and his agony, and he looks down at his best friend and says, "Hey, will you take care of my mama?" Are you kidding me? He loved his family. Family was important to him. So important, as he's doing his father's business, he takes care of his mama. Wow. Family is important. But Jesus says there's a bigger family that you, as a follower of Christ, are involved in. That is closer, stronger, better. Jesus redefines family for believers. He takes it from an earthly view to a spiritual view. That, for me, is everything that's wrapped up in these five verses. He's trying to help us see that, yeah, all of us see moms and dads and sons and daughters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and all of that. But what he's trying to help us see is, no. As a follower of God, those that are doing the will of God, there's a bigger family. You just increased your sisters and brothers. You increased your moms and your dads. Now, for some of you, that may scare you. And we have to be wise as to the moms and dads that we allow into our life, right? And how we help parent each other's children, because people get really finicky about that. But as followers of God, if we are truly following God, we are a larger family of families. I love how he defines it. For me, this changes everything. And I love my family. I've got cousins and aunts and uncles spread out all over the East Coast. But my family, it's right here. Wherever I'm at, my family is the church at large. That's my family. We used to get fussed at, Sally and I, because we would not go to family reunions during the summer. And it wasn't necessarily because we didn't want to be there, because we did, even though they had some different ways of thinking and different theological stances than us. We were okay to work with that. But the reason we did not go is we had an opportunity to do more of the Father's work on a bigger scale. So we were like, you know what? We're going to take advantage and leverage this opportunity and go do that, and we'll not be a part of our family reunion. And we got fussed at for that. And these were people who followed God. But their view of family was an earthly view and not a spiritual, heavenly view. And for me, I always, to the best of my ability, want to be about the Father's business. And that may mean I may not have the right now conversation with you, but I will. Because he's going to take precedent over all. In James 1:22, I find this very interesting. Because again, I want to go back to this. Look at this. Jesus said, whoever does the will, not just knows the knowledge, not just hears it, but does it. That's a part of the family. Everybody see that? Those are our brothers and sisters, the ones that are doing the will. Now, James, his brother, we believe is the one that wrote the book of James. And look what James says. James was the one that did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And now look what he's saying. He said, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. deceiving yourselves. Whoops. He says, hey, I remember when he said this, because I was there. I heard him say, family are those who do the will of the Father. Now, I find it interesting that Jesus says those that do. Because we have a lot of people who know a lot. But they don't do it well at all. Jesus says, no, those that are in your family are those who do it. Who make those hard choices. Who have those hard conversations. Who willingly allow the Spirit of God to wreck their life, to get rid of the junk, so that they can be the follower of God that they are called to be. We are no longer alone and are called to live differently. Many of you feel like, well, my family has abandoned me. I made this decision to follow God, and all of my family has left me. And family is important to me. Well, maybe this morning it is time for you to hit your knees and say, God, I need you to change my view of what family really is. Because I can tell you, the family that you're going to gain here will most likely surpass any family that you can get anywhere else. Because if we are all on the same page, heading in the same direction of wanting to honor God, of doing what is right and being kind with other people and walking humbly with Him, then the family system that we will create in here looks a lot like what we have, but stronger. Because we're all moving in the same direction. Now, last week I put this up, and I wanted to use it again because I think it applies in a big way. Last week I said our distraction can be our lack of intentionality in our walk due to our total complacency with where we think we are with God. If we feel like we are separated from God, then our walk with Him is not going to be very, very strong. If we feel like God is more like the earthly father that we have here, it's probably not going to be a very good relationship. If we feel like that the family that we are talking about today, the spiritual family, is going to mimic and be a lot like our earthly family, if we get complacent with those thoughts and those ideas, you will be distracted from the great God and King that you so badly want to know. You cannot take this journey lightly. You cannot coast in this journey. You cannot just pray the prayer and expect everything to magically be okay. Jesus said, those who do the will of the Father. And again, I go back. Micah 6:8 for me outlines the will of the Father perfectly in three easy steps. And I'll remind you one more time. Do what is right. Be kind to other people. And simply walk humbly with God. If we can do that, your family will grow. And the Father that you now call Father is nothing like your earthly dad. Not even close. And it is time we start rearranging our view of what the earthly family looks like to more of a spiritual view of what family really is all about. Romans 8, because we are no longer alone, you have been adopted into a bigger family. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, those that are doing the will of the Father are those that are sons of God or daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. We didn't enter into this relationship with Him to be bound up. We entered into this relationship to be free. He says you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy is really what that means. Daddy. What a sweet, endearing term. And our hearts are crying out for this. It is what that God-shaped hole that lives within all of us is desiring more than anything else, is to be a part of this family, to have a father just like a daddy should be. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. As we do the will of the Father, the Spirit that has taken over our lives will recognize and remind us and encourage us and help us to see that, yes, you're going in the right direction. This family that you are now seeing and being a part of is bigger, better, more impressive than your earthly family could ever be. And then he says, and if we are children, if we have been adopted into this, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed, watch this, we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Again, all of that first part sounds amazing until we get to the suffering part. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor Allen, you just said that this family is going to be better. Suffering does not sound like it's going to be better. But look what it says after that. If we can do the will of the Father and take part in his suffering, then we can be glorified together when we get to heaven. This is just a small blip in our walk. It is to get us to a bigger, better place. And we can do that as a family. This family thing is so important. And if we bring our earthly view of family into the spiritual realm, it's going to mess everything up. Let me just tell you, I think it's something that our church has done really well over the last 6 or 7 years. Is we have adopted this notion that, yes, we are all individual people. We all have different baggage. We all have different opinions. We all have different ways of doing things. But I believe God has done something supernatural here to bring about such a family atmosphere that we can accomplish anything, even with all of our differing opinions. That's because of him. Because we, as individual believers, seek to do the will of the Father. And the Spirit that lives within us recognizes that and is able to do amazing things because we truly are a family. Maybe not like your earthly family, but we're getting more like the family God wants us to be. So I changed the thought just a little bit and I said this. There is a family, which is a gift and is a forever. There is a family and it is a gift. It is a gift through Jesus Christ. It is a gift through him who gave his life for you, who died for your sins and was dead, like cold in the grave dead. But on that third day, in hope and in victory, he rose from the grave to give us a promised end. That is the father that we want to go after. That is the brother that we get to claim. That is the joint heir because we have been adopted into the family. That is the gift that he offers to us. And when we are adopted into that family, it will last forever. Here are some thoughts for you this morning. How do I define earthly and spiritual family? Spend some time this week. Ask God. God, reveal to me, how have I been defining earthly family and how am I defining spiritual family? And see what he brings to mind. Maybe take some time and just write down some thoughts, some ideas. But see where he takes you with this. Here's the second question. Is one family distracting me from the other? Because again, we all have family. And is our earthly family, really is what I'm asking, distracting me from my spiritual family? And maybe we could flip that around and saying, am I too involved in my spiritual family that I am not trying to win my earthly family? Because we can get a little too spiritual. We can get on our little high horse and ride around and trample some people. Amen? And so let's not get distracted by our spirituality. And let's go after some people that need him. Question number three, how important is the family of God to me? How important is it? How important is it? Is it more important than, oh my. You're not going to let me not say it, are you? Is it more important than sports? Is it more important than vacating every weekend and skipping church and missing out? Is it more important than any other thing? How important is the family of God to you? Isn't it more important to go and party and then be here on Sunday morning and just think everything is okay? Is it more important to go and be involved in things that you know are not the will of the Father? Is that more important than being a part of a family of doing the will of God? I don't like that one. Number four, do I need to reshape how I view family? Now, those are some heavy questions. Those aren't questions that you can just say yes, no, yes, no. Those are questions that you really need to sit and think about. Because the family that we have right here, the family that are sitting at home because they're not able to come, the family that are strewed out all over, maybe they're at college, Savannah. Your family still is here. Your family is all over the world because Jesus said, your family are those who do the will of the Father. My question to you this morning is this: are you doing the will of the Father? Are you a part of this family? Because you can be if you're not. Let's pray. God, I appreciate all that you do. Thank you for this simple passage. God, it's very interesting how Jesus addresses the people there and even addresses his own family. And Lord, it is clear to me and hopefully clear to us this morning that he's not dissing his family. He dearly loves his family. We see that from the cross. But Spirit, please work within us. Clear our mind's eye of what we think we know and reveal to us what we have believed that may be wrong or right, and either deconstruct it to be reconstructed or strengthen it so that it will really be a part of who we are. Lord, many of us come from broken families. Many of us are a part of a family that is just on the outs right now. And Lord, may we see that there's bigger things at play here. And true family are those who do the will of the Father. And if we are thinking about cheating or thinking about creating this extra relationship or just breaking off because we're just not happy and it's just not going right, God, that's not the will of the Father. May you work on our hearts and reveal to us clearly and cleanly what your will for us is. Help us to do it. Lord, the thoughts and the things that we've talked about today, pray that you would challenge us deeply. Allow us to realize this precious commodity that we have here of our church family, and that our family is really bigger than Townsend Church. We love you, we praise you, and thank you, and we invite you to continue to do what only you can do, in Jesus' name.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
thank you all for coming this morning. Hey, if you thought of somebody this morning that you don't see here, that's a part of our church family that you've been missing, give them a call. Check on them. See how they're doing. Go pay them a visit. Stay 6 feet apart. Wear your mask. But go pay them a visit. Give them a call. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you all next week.